Michael be under here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 this morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, boy, I thank God for Brother Paul Ryan and Brother Garrett. And I thank God for the praise and worship team this morning. I know Sister Caitlin, she played the piano, done an amazing job. She's a mother under stress. Her husband's gone having a heyday out doing whatever he wants to do, and she's watching a baby. Well, that's what mamas think. I know this. I got a newborn. I understand. But thank God that mamas can handle it. Amen? Mamas are tougher than men. They're not wired like us. The other day she said, the baby's crying. I said, leave him alone. He'll quit it. How do you know? He cries all day and I just let him cry. No. She'd get me on camera. I'd be in trouble. Can I get a witness? 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. If you've not come to have a good time, you're in trouble. I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. We've come just to have a good time. Just to have a good time. In the presence of Jesus, you're going to have a good time. If you're a child of God in the presence of Jesus, you're going to have a good time. Man, church, we have doctored church up so much it ain't even funny. Where everybody's doom and gloom. They think they come in, put the old sad face on. Have an old long face like everything's been so bad. Ain't got nothing to praise Him for. Oh, I got a lot to praise Him for. Amen. Hey, I got a lot to say. Thank you, Lord. I got a lot to say. Mama going to get to come home this week probably. Man, I got a lot to thank Him for. Can I get amen? Amen? Hey, we got men that have been traveling to Texas and they made it out there safe. We got a lot to be thankful for. Amen? Man, ain't God good. But let me tell you this morning. It's going to be a title God's laid on my heart. Not on my own. Not on my own. Mama ain't coming home not on my own. She's not coming on her own because she's strength and she's healthy. No, there's an unseen hand. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus, or if you do know Jesus and you're out of the wheel, I pray you get in it. I'm talking about get sloppy up in it. Amen. Woo, glory. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 18, not on my own. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 18, if you found your place, say amen. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after this is the wisdom of God. The world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we which preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Our Father and our God, as we bow for the next few moments and praise your name, Lord, I pray that you move in a mighty way, Father. Lord, I pray somebody gets something out of this. I thank you for allowing me to be the pastor of this church and preach, thus saith the Word of God. I thank you for the songs that's been sung. I thank you for the prayers that's been prayed. Hey, but I thank you most of all, Father God, for your great grace, your great mercy, and how you loved us and how you saved us from a devil's hell. And Lord, I pray this morning that if anybody has walked in lost and undone, I pray they get saved before it's eternally too late. If there's one this morning that is backslidden, Lord God, I pray that you bring them back, Father. Lord, if there's one that's got an ill will, I pray you change their will this morning. If there's one walked in any way besides the right way, I pray that we do business with you before it's eternally too late, Father. I love you and I thank you. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the power power of the Holy Ghost, Father. Lord, I pray you let me preach this message in power, but with also compassion this morning, Father. Father, I pray this morning that you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, I ask you to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. Thank you for taking care of our men that's went out to Texas this week. I pray you watch over them and bless them real good. Lord, I thank you this morning for this local body. Have your will and way, and you do all the work in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated this morning as we come, not on my own, not on what I've done or anything that I have done in my life, and not on my own. The world teaches this, and I want you to get this morning. The world teaches that a person can do anything that they want to do. Anything you want to do, you can do it if you'll just put your mind to it. If you'll have a backbone like a fence post, if you'll get strong, if you'll just line up and do good, you can do anything that you want to do if you got determined. And you got the willpower. And if you'll tell yourself to get up from there, you can do anything that you want to do. You can be anything that you want to do. But this morning, as your pastor, I want you to know that there are some things that you can't do on your own. There are some things in your life that you just can't do. You say, don't tell me that, preacher. I'm going to preach you the Word of God this morning. And I want you to know there are some things that you can't just do on your own. And you better thank God. And I better thank God this morning for His helping hand. Can I get an amen? Man, He's got a hand that holds us this morning, and He reaches down like never before. But I see this morning that there is a few things that I can't do on my own, and if God don't step in, it won't get done. Can I say to you this morning in verse number 18, I see, number one, this morning that salvation is not on my own. You're not saved in here by anything that you've done or anywhere that you've been. If you're a child of God this morning, washed in the blood of Jesus, it's not of your own, but it's all of God this morning. I see in verse number 18, He says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which is saved, it is the power of God. I know this morning that there's some things that I can't do on my own. And number one, salvation is not on my own. This morning, can I say to you that God planned salvation in heaven? Hey, God Almighty, He planned salvation in heaven in the glory world. Hey, when Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and He started right then making a plan before you ever was born, before you ever was thought of. When Adam sinned in the garden, you know what he said? It won't be fig leaves, and it won't be of good works, but it will be of blood. And he knew it was going to take a blood sacrifice to save us from our sin. It was going to take a lamb that had no spot and had no blemish. It was going to take somebody greater than you and I, and it was going to take somebody that had never been spotted by this world. And when God looked around heaven, friends, I want you to know, He didn't have to look far. There was His precious Son. There was the Lamb of God without spot and without blemish. He looked there and He seen the King of Kings and He seen the Lord of Lords. As the Bible says in Timothy, He see the only potentate, the only one that you bow a knee to, the only one that you call on for help in time of need. He seen God and He seen Jesus all in Himself, all wrapped up in one. I say to you this morning, salvation, I can't do it on my own. Salvation this morning, number one, hey, God planned it in heaven. Hey, but Jesus purchased it on the cross of Calvary. He purchased it out Golgotha over 2,000 years ago when He climbed Golgotha's hill and He hung on that cross. He didn't die for you. He died as you. When He hung on that cross, He didn't die for you. He died as you. When they nailed Him to that old rugged cross and He climbed up on that cross and they nailed Him there, they didn't take His life, Brother Les. He laid it down for sinful men as you and I this morning. He laid it down on that cross. When He said, "It is finished," it was over. When they took Him off of that cross, at that moment He started purchasing it at His death. They took Him off of that old rugged cross. Hey, did I tell you this morning, salvation, it's not of you, it's of God this morning. The power of God is in Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary. When they took Him off of that cross and they put Him in that borrowed tomb, you know what? If you went and you interviewed them people that were there, they kept asking one another, "Is He still in the grave?" And they would say, "Yes, He's still there. Is He still dead. And they said, he's deader than a doornail. Hey, he's laying there not moving. He's laying there not breathing, not a whole lot going on. And on day number two, they looked in, and I want you to know he was still in the same shape. If they would have rolled that stone back, Brother Gary, he'd have still been dead laying there. He wasn't going to come out a minute earlier. He had to come out at the appointed time. Salvation is not of man. It is of God this morning. God planned it, but Jesus purchased it at the cross of Calvary. And on that third day, hey, you know what happened? That stone rolled away and Jesus come out of that grave. Friends, I want you to know this morning, salvation is not of man, but it's of Jesus Christ this morning. God planned it and Jesus purchased it at the cross of Calvary. You say, how do I get in on this? Hey, the Holy Ghost presents it at your conversion. When the Holy Ghost is knocking on your heart's door, God done planned it and Jesus has done purchased it. He's done paid that free gift for you. And on that cross, he did that. And then the Holy Ghost of heaven, that old nitpicker, can I get an amen? That old one that'll pick in your business when nobody else will. That old one to get on your back when nobody else will. That old Holy Ghost, you know what he does? When it's time for you to be saved and the Holy Ghost is pulling you and it's knocking on your heart's door, at that moment is when man's will comes in. At that moment in time is when man's will come in. He said it's the preaching of the cross. It's the power of God unto salvation. Listen to this morning. At that moment when the Holy Spirit starts knocking on that man, woman, boy, or girl's heart, at that moment you have a choice. You have a free will right then to either accept salvation and let him be your heavenly father, or you can reject him. You say, preacher, how many times will he knock on my heart's door? I have no clue, but I know the Bible teaches me that he'll knock on everybody's heart at least one time, and you have an invitation. It's a free invitation. It's an invitation that has done been paid at the cross of Calvary. It's done been planned in heaven, and it's for everybody that ever will live. And this morning, I want you to know, you say, preacher, what do I do? You accept that gift. Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 8, the Bible says, as we've done read this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. I see this morning salvation has nothing to do with me. Hey, if I'm saved this morning, it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. He said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. Nothing you've done. That not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. That gift comes straight from heaven. I see this morning, as we get in the book this morning and we read it, he said it's the power of God unto salvation. And I thank God this morning, there's some things that I can't do on my own. Number one, I can't be saved on my own. It's by the blood of Jesus. Can we give me number two? We'll slow down right here. Salvation is not of my own. And this right here is really what you need to know, and I need to know too after I'm saved. Living for God is not on my own. You will not live for God on your own. I know a lot of people that's tried to turn over a new leaf in January, and come January the 2nd, that leaf is flipped right back on them. They've tried to do it on their own. Do you know how many drug rehabs people go to and they try to get set free? They try to get out of bondage and it does no good. You can go to all the rehab you want. You can go to all the Bible studies. You can read every get help book you can get. But until you meet God, until you met Jesus, until the Holy Ghost has presented that in your life, there is nothing you can do about it. You can try to do all you want to do. But only, I want you to know, living for God only comes through a relationship through Jesus Christ. He says salvation is not on my own, and living for God is not on my own. Living for God is not on your own. If you're going to live for God, you better know you're born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let me show you this in verse 19 and verse number 20. For it is written, here's a promise he gives you. Here's a promise he gives you. He says not only is the power, but let me show you a promise that I'm going to give you, that you can't live for him out of your own head knowledge. He said, I'm going to give you something here. Not only salvation is not of your own, but living for God is not on your own. You take the most spiritualist person you know. I'm pretty sure that's the word spiritualist. Most spiritual person you know. And they're not where they're at because of them. They're there because how God has elevated them and used them. Listen to me. It's not on their own. He said, preacher, look, here's a promise. He says, I promise you, you cannot know nothing and I will still use you. And here's what he says. If you don't believe that, just look at your pastor this morning. I'll take nothing. I'll take when there was nothing in the bucket and nobody give nothing for him, and I'll give my son for him on the cross of Calvary. Let me show you that you can't live without him. Living for God is not on my own. 19, look what he says. For it is written, here's a promise. I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. For where is the wise, as he's asking? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Let me give you this. Salvation's not on my own and living for God's not on my own. And I'm going to make an assumption this morning that we're going to be a pretty good assumption if you'll listen to this and get this. Most of us that's in this room, most that was in this room, according to the world standard, was not wise when we got saved. Would you agree? That's what he said. He said, where is the wise? Most of you and myself, number one, I was not wise when I got born again. So living for God, I had no clue how to live for God. I had didn't even know nothing about God. I knew he existed, but it was not of me. It was of God when he saved my soul. He knocked on my heart's door, and in my own free will, I accepted that plan of salvation and had a relationship with Christ Jesus. Most wasn't wise. That's what he says. Where is the wise? Most people in this room wasn't wise when you got born again. Can I get a witness? I made a lot of stupid mistakes. Don't answer. I still make a few. Not as many. Okay? Living for God's not on my own. Most wasn't wise according to man's standard when salvation came. Most, I would say this. Most that was in this room right now, you was not famous when you come to know Jesus. You get out of Lamar County, Alabama, most people don't know you. Marion County, maybe, but you get too far. You get all, no, they don't know. You're not famous. You're not on TV. You're not one of these big-time jokers. What are you? I'm just a child of God washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I didn't have to be wise to be saved. I didn't have to be wise to be saved. I didn't have to walk this life and do all these things that the church people put on you. I didn't have to be wise, and I didn't have to be famous. Man, what if he don't just call the famous. He said, where's the scribe, the one that knows it all? He said, I make it even. I make it even at the cross of Calvary. I would say today, living for God is not on my own. Number one, most wasn't wise according to the standards of society we live in. Most wasn't famous. That's what he said there. Where is the scribe, the one that would be famous? And here it says, where is the disputer of this world? I'd say most of us in this room realizes we wasn't worthy of salvation at all. Most of us in this room wasn't worthy of salvation at all. If it was for the worthy person, most of us... Now, you may know somebody here that's worthy, that was worthy. But when I read my Bible, I was unworthy. I was of no value. But Jesus seen something man couldn't see. Jesus seen something the worldly standard couldn't see. Nobody can live for God or walk with God on his or her own. Romans 6:11 says this, we are alive by Christ Jesus. Our walk for God is alive. I want you to know it's not on your own. It's on what God's done in your life. And we are alive by Christ Jesus. Turn with me there. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11. I want to share this with you. I'd say, preacher, how are you alive and well this morning? I'm alive by Christ Jesus in my life. Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 11. Look what the Bible says here. That we are alive by Christ Jesus. When he comes to live inside of our life, then we become alive. Look what he says in Romans 6:11. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. We are alive. We're walking this Christian life. We can't do it on our own. We're only alive in Christ Jesus because of Christ Jesus that lives inside of us. Turn with me to Mark 5:5, talking about that we can't even live this godly life without Christ Jesus inside of us. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 5 this morning. I want to show you this in the text. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 5, what the Bible says. He says here, and I want you to think about this maniac at Gadara. I want you to think about this man. This man spent night and days in the tomb cutting himself. He could not walk. He could not do nothing. Nobody wanted nothing to do with him. They done put him in the psych ward. Hey, done got rid of him, not in my church, not in my home, not in my family, not where I'm at. And he was a castaway, no good. Nobody wanted nothing to do with him, not on his own. He was laying there all tied up, bandaged up in a bad way. And you say, preacher, who loved him when nobody else would? Who went to him when nobody else would? Can I say to you, Jesus went to him when nobody else would. Mark 5:5, here's what the Bible says. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. And you talk about this morning. He couldn't do nothing on his own. Everything he did on his own was a mess up. Everything he did on his own was a mistake. He could not get ahead. He couldn't get out of the sin that he was in. But I want you to know this morning. You don't clean up when you come to Jesus. Hey, I want you to know this morning, when the Holy Ghost knocks on your life, at that moment in your life to be saved, you're at the most filthiest spot that you've ever been. And look what the Bible says. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him and cried with a loud voice, said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? He said, what do I do? What have I to do with you? And you know what Jesus did? He met him at time in his hour of need right then. And if you read on down, that man in verse number 15, I'm talking about living a life that's pleasing to God. You can't do it if you've never met Jesus. And they come to Jesus and seen him that was possessed with evil. That was. See, let me say something that's right here. Let me stop right here. Him that was possessed, the drunkard no longer drinks. When you meet Jesus, the dope head no longer does dope no more when he meets Jesus. The adulteress no longer cheats on his wife. She no longer cheats on her husband when they come to meet Jesus. See, that stuff's not in there. That stuff's not in there. Well, he said now he was clothed and sitting in his right mind and he was in right where he needed to be. All them things are gone. They're out of there. That's how he's going to have a walk that's going to be pleasing to God. It's out of there. That potty mouth cussing and all this stuff, it's gone. They don't just cuss and have a heyday and don't have no conviction over it. It's gone. It's gone. When a man and a woman comes to know Jesus Christ, there's a change that comes in that person's life. Not Jesus. And they're right back. I know people that's cleaned up for years, but never met Jesus. And they're right back where they was because they never met Jesus. Let me show you this in the book this morning. Man, it's good. Thank you, Lord. And they came to Jesus and seen him that was possessed with the devil. And he had the legion sitting and clothed. And clothed. Can I say to you, when you come to know Jesus, you'll dress modest. When you come to know Jesus, you'll dress modest. When you come to know Jesus, he was sitting and he was clothed. Sitting and clothed. And look at the next thing. Brother Smith, look at this. He was sitting, he was clothed, and he was in his right mind. Y'all think right now I'm not in my right mind. But you ought to have seen the mind I had before. This mind is in Christ Jesus. This man he took, he said, well, he did that on his own. Oh, no. You know how many wives trying to straighten their husbands up and it ain't going to work? You can polish them up, buy them a new shirt, bring them to church on Easter, do all you want to do, but ain't going to do a bit of good till the Holy Ghost get a hold of them. Till Jesus Christ come inside them, ain't going to do a bit of good. You can pray for them. You can paint them up, do whatever you want to do, but until there's a change from the Master, there'll be no change. Look what this is setting, and he was in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid. Why? Because there was a change in their life. Is anybody scared of you because of the change God's made in your life? Hey, nobody's house to run with. They scared death of me. They think I'm a narc, the police, you name it. They got it on there. There's no way he's quit doing dope and preaching the gospel. There's no way. He's slipping up somewhere. He's doing something wrong. There's something going on. If you used to run with a rough crowd and you ain't with them no more, they think something about you. And they're looking at you different than they've ever looked at you. But listen here, if there's not been no change and you're not clothed and doing right and sitting in having your right mind, they ain't scared of you. They ain't scared of you. The word we used to use is hypocrite. They just old hypocrite. Go to church on Sunday, live like the devil the rest of the week. Ain't nothing to them. That ain't what the world's looking for. The world's looking for the man on Sunday to be the man on Monday. The world's looking for the man on Wednesday to be the man on Thursday. Looking for the woman to be the same. Can I give you something else? And I want to share this before we go any further. Number one, I see salvation. I can't do it on my own, Brother Brent. Brother Brent, I see that I can't live the Christian life on my own. I can't do it. But I seen something else in the text. I can't fight battles on my own. That's where a lot of us are getting beat. We're trying to fight them on our own. Instead of fighting them on our knees, we want to stand toe-to-toe with the enemy. You know what? The devil will wear you out. I don't care how strong a Christian you are. It's not on you. It's nothing about you. You're not strong enough to defeat him. You find me the strongest Christian you think, and they're the weakest, probably the weakest there is when it comes to standing toe-to-toe. But they have found something out, that they're strong on their knees in the presence of God. Satan will never flee at Brother Chad's name or Brother Roy's name. He'll never flee at Dalton's name. Never will, because we have no power to make him flee. The only power we have is the name of Jesus. He'll flee at the name of Jesus. Let me show you this in the text, if you will. Let's look on down here. I see, number one, salvation is not on my own. Living for God is not on my own. I can't do it on my own. But battles we fight is not supposed to be handled on our own. Look, if you will, with me in verse number 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. Wiser than men, man. The foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God is stronger than men, and he's stronger than you and I. And I can't do nothing on my own without him. Look with me. I'm going to give you two places to turn, and I want to share it with you. Look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Or it'll be just one page over in your Bible, maybe the same one. And I want to show you this, that battles we fight is not on your own. It's not on your own. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If you've been trying to do it on your own, realize there's somebody greater inside of you that can defeat the enemy. He's the God of the Old Testament. He's God of the New Testament. He's God today. He does not change. Look with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 15. And I want to show you this as we get ready to see what the Lord will do today in this place. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20 and verse number 15. There's some things I just can't do on my own. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 15. And to the man or woman that is saved, and you're living for God, and you know God's living in you, and you say, these battles are just too frequent, preacher, what do I do? You just keep relying on him. Little Piper drew me a picture a while ago. Had no clue what I was going to preach on. She drew me a hand. I noticed a hand on Piper. A hand. And it said, I'll never leave you. That hand of God. Look what he says in 2 Chronicles 20:15. And he said, hearken you all Judea and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou king Jehoshaphat. Thus, 2 Chronicles 20:15. Thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. There's some battles you're going through so God can show people how big he is. You're going to go through things so God can show. If you never go through nothing big, well, how can he show how big he is? If all he wants is little trivial stuff, how are you ever going to get to say, hey, look how big my God is? Oh, glory. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook or the valley, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Ain't that a blessing? There's some things you ain't got to fight. God's got it. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Not on my own. My battles are fought because God's on my side. You say, preacher, what do I do when the battle's not mine, but it's God's? How do I hold up and let him fight my battles? How do I do that? It's right here. He said, number one, you're going to have to set yourselves, or you're going to have to just stay alert. He's going to stay alert. You've got to set yourselves. You're going to have to get in the trenches and just set yourself. Say, I'm not going to move no matter what battle comes my way. He said, set yourselves. And look here. He said, stand still. Or in other words, set back. That's hard for us to do, to set back. And see the salvation of the Lord. This morning I want to ask you a question. What have you been trying to do on your own that you have no business doing on your own? You've been trying to save yourself, and that's not of you, that's of God. When He knocks on that heart's door, you answer. You've been trying to walk the Christian life without God. It won't work. You've been trying to fight battles, and it won't work. He is right where He needs to be in your life this morning, doing what He needs to do in your life. You said, preacher, has He forgot about me? Oh, no, He can't forget. He can't lie. He can't forget. He can't leave. A lot of things God can't do. A lot of things God can't do. He stays right there with you. You said, preacher, is it worth me quit trying to do it on my own and rely on God? I guarantee it is. You've heard the story about the little boy walking down the beach and all them fish washed up on the beach. And the tide done got way back and all them fish laying up there. And the little boy was going down the beach and he's picking them fish up, throwing them back in. And his daddy walked up behind him and he said, son, what are you doing? He said, daddy, you see all these fish that's washed up here? If I don't help them, who is? If I don't help all these fish, who is? He said, but son, you're only throwing one back. You're only getting one back. You're only helping one. All you're doing is helping one. All you're doing, look at all them down through there. He said, yeah, but it's worth it to that one. This morning, I may be talking to just one this morning that you don't understand why it's not working the way it should in your life. It's because you're trying to do it on your own. Your mom and daddy's taught you work hard. Thank God for working hard. Amen. Thank God for discipline. Thank God for schooling. Thank God. All that's good. But it will not help you when it comes to salvation. All that's good. But it will not help you walk the Christian life. That's all through Jesus Christ. And all the determination, I've been determined on some battles. Brother Pugh, I'm telling you, I was determined to defeat them battles with some people in my life. And I was going to get the better end. I was going to win no matter what. And God said, you're not winning this battle. You might as well quit. Me and Brother Austin and Brother Whooper was up there the other day at that place where them kids go that don't act right, that misbehave. 14 to 17-year-old in Walker County where they misbehave and their next step is the state penitentiary. They have no more. That's where they go before they go there. And we went up there and spoke to them young men. And when we got done, gave the time of invitation. And there was one little young man there. I didn't know his name at the time, but his name was Ryder. I've been praying that the Lord let me lead Ryder to Jesus, my son's name, but didn't know I was praying for this Ryder. And that young boy is standing there, and he's probably 6'2", 6'1", somewhere around there. Big old boy. Tattooed up, standing there, I'm telling you, mad at the world. Had his fist gripped, tears rolling down his face. And I said, son, if you could get your hands on what's going on inside of you right now, you'd wear it out. And the more I talked to him, the more the tears flowed down his face, the more he gritted his teeth. I said, if you could get your hands on it, you'd whoop that spirit. But you know what? You can't get your hands on it, but he can get his hands all over you. You can't do nothing about it. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, you can reject it. But you can't do nothing about that feeling when he gets his hands on you, when he wraps up there against you and he shows you how sinful you are, and only by the blood of Jesus Christ will he save your soul. You can do anything. You can get mad if somebody brings the message. But when that old nitpicker gets in there and he starts picking that heart alive, and that boy's standing there, and I said, son, what would keep you right now from following Jesus? What keep you right now from following Jesus? I said, he's on you. All you got to do is call to him. That young man got in that altar and he got to crying out. I didn't have to do nothing. Couldn't do nothing if I had to, Brother Pugh. He got in that altar right there and he got to squalling, crying out to God. And I seen a young man that the jail system couldn't handle. The school system couldn't handle. Disciplinaries at the school couldn't handle him. Mom and daddy's done with him, washed their hands up. I can't put it, this is my kid, but I can't handle my kid. And I seen a young man fall down, not on his own, because the power of God was on him, and he surrendered. Fell down on his knees and cried out to an almighty God. When he got up from that spot where he was at, son, I'm telling you, that was a new kid standing there. That was a new kid standing there. Everything we done was under supervision. I looked over at the counselor. I said, you mind if we give him the right hand of Christian fellowship, love on him just a little bit? He said, you sure can. There's four of them that night gave their life to Jesus. Folks, you listen to me today. It's not on your own. There's some of you here this morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd have been in that place. There's some of you here this morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in the county jail. There's some of you here this morning, if it wasn't for the grace of God, you can just add to that. And your pastor's in line with you. It's by His grace that I'm saved. It's by His grace that I get to walk this that's called a Christian life. And it's by grace that when them battles come my way, He says, hey, sit back, I got this one. Don't you like it? Don't you like when the school bully comes up and somebody stands up and says, hey, don't worry about it, I got this one. Can I say to you, whatever you're battling this morning, God's got it. If you'll just give it to Him. Ask you this morning, if you're battling something, quit battling it on your own. Just give it to God. He promised you in His word that He'd help you and He'd never leave you. Our Father and our God, as we bow in Your presence, Lord, I love You. Woo, glory, do I love You. Lord, I thank You so much that my salvation ain't riding on how I live, what I do, or where I go. It is secured in the blood of the cross of Calvary. Lord God, this morning, my walk this morning is only reason I get to walk this Christian life is because I'm born again and I look to You and You lead me, Father. And Lord God, the only way this morning that some battles that I've been able to overcome is because the blood of the Lamb. Lord, just as John said, now behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Lord, if there's somebody in here this morning and they're battling on their own, they're trying to walk this walk on their own and they can't do it no more. Maybe they're just lost or maybe they're saved and they're still trying to do everything on their own. Just let them give it to You. Father, they'll be so thankful that they don't have to tote that burden no more. We ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people said.